Good morning. Welcome to Vision in Action Live. Today we have a presentation on part two of Personal Development Point Solutions, and we have a discussion with our guest, Ellen Rushstein, Life Transition Coach. Welcome to the show, Ms. Rushstein. I'm Jim Boswell, your host and author of Lifelong Fulfillment, Take Charge of Your Life. Today's presentation on Personal Development Point Solutions can be an important set of tools for your pursuit of a life of fulfillment. So point solutions in general, just to review, integrate directly with the lifelong fulfillment process that supports your personal development in specific information areas such as psychology, business, mathematics, human relations, and economics. So today we're going to finish up our discussion of part one with part two today. On this slide, environment, economics, and behavioral psychology is what we covered last time. Today we're going to look at thumb rules. This is some common wisdom that's accumulated by trustworthy authorities that you might want to use in your everyday life. And mathematics, unfortunately, life involves mathematics. So we're going to look at three things there: the normal curve, the Pareto rule, and the point of diminishing returns. And then we're going to look at a little bit at human relations, where we can identify things we don't know we don't know, and find some way to do something about that. So let's take a look at thumb rules. In the book Lifelong Fulfillment, there's about 20 of these, and they are garnered from experts in many different fields into a set that provides wisdom to you as you develop your lifelong fulfillment goals and you pursue those goals and so forth. So let's look at a couple of these. Pareto, not perfection. This goes back to the old 80-20 rule, which helps keep you focused on the 20% of effort that delivers 80% of the results. Anything beyond that, you have to really look at is, am I wasting my time to be perfect and 100% in the other area? If we look over on the right, in order to arm yourself for the unexpected, we encourage you to start thinking in terms of a plan A, which is your priority, a backup plan B, and an emergency plan C, if plan A and B fail absolutely. We look at what's in it for me. We're all Homo sapiens, we have self-interest, and this kind of identifies that. So we do things in our own self-interest. You have to understand what that is and how it relates to others' self-interest and also to your own. So moving forward, this will become part of your vocabulary. On the other side, persistence is everything. If you're early to the game, you probably are growing your persistence and your strength in many areas to not discouraged and to keep plugging. But you need to have confidence that you can and will be persistent as you move forward in pursuing your goals. You're also going to encounter fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which is abbreviated as FUD. If you ever hear anybody use that acronym, well, then that's what they're referring to. And so at some point, you need to think about, how am I going to manage that? Fear, uncertainty, doubt, you will have it. It will be part of your programs, and you can grow beyond it. So have some confidence that you don't have to react to that quite like you might without a little help. Keep your own counsel and integrity. This goes to the point of learning to think critically for yourself. It does mean that you need to rely on authentic point solution experts along the way, because you can't know everything in every discipline. Another is human communications. By and large, communications are about 55% body language, 38% volume and pitch, and about 7% of the words. So there's some real significant impact if that's happening over a phone, over internet, if you're wearing a face mask, as we did during COVID. It eliminates body language and volume pitch inputs, and so it's pretty easy to misconstrue things. So be aware of that in your communication with your peers, your family, your friends. And another way to stay focused, besides the Pareto rule, is to measure everything based on return on investment and time. You want to expend your effort over the shortest amount of time possible and get the maximum return on that investment, even if the way you account for that return is qualitative or non-quantitative in nature. So think about those as some of the thumb rules. Again, there's 20 of these available. They're in the book, and they can really help you get a handle early on, with thumb rules you can live with. I want to introduce you to the normal curve. This will come up multiple times as you delve into different areas of personal development. This normal curve shows all the mathematical. So at three standard deviations to the right and to the left, you've covered 99.9% of the population. There's only like 0.26% outside that realm. So pretty much any statement you make about that covers all instances. At two standard deviations, it's also very significant. At one, it covers like about 68%, or basically two-thirds of the whole curve. So if you look at that curve and say, okay, if I plot, the number of households against economics, that curve would skew to the left because most of the population makes less than, say, $100,000 a year. If you were to simply say, okay, what would it look like if I did that in total income, as we've done in other graphs and other presentation, it would skew to the right because 80% of the nation's income occurs far, far on the right end of the normal curve. So I don't want to belabor this point, but you will wind up seeing this again and again. So it's a concept that's of real use to you. We're going to go back to the Pareto rule again. This is the old 80-20 rule. And because it will help us maintain focus on our goals and our objectives without wasting time on the irrelevant, it's a powerful tool for thinking about situations, investments, what your sense of common sense is, and optimizing your time, resources, and returns. So, if we drop to bullet number two, the 80% of returns that are delivered by 20% of your effort, investments, activities, and focus is where you're going to spend your time. Because 80% returns is our focus, and perfection really is a wasteful goal. You have better places to spend your time once you've achieved that. The other is the diminishing point of returns. And I'll just use an example for this. If you gave me a dollar, and a month later I gave you back $1.10, you made 10% on that transaction. If you decided because of that you were going to give me $2 and that second dollar only returned $1.05, which is 5%, you've reached what is called and commonly known as the point of diminishing returns. And that's the time when you should go find another dollar investment that delivers 10%. So this concept goes to where you can identify where you're wasting your effort and your time and your money, and it's not warranted. You need to go find another place to spend your time and money and effort and focus. Okay, let's move on to the next section. And we're going to look at improving self-knowledge. This is about, has a lot to do with interpersonal communications. And the way to think about this is a 4x4 matrix. On the far left is everything that's known to yourself, but it's also known to others. So the top left-hand corner is known to yourself, your family, your friends, and so on. If you look downward from there, things can be known to yourself, but not known to others. In other words, your private feelings, maybe things about your upbringing or things like that might be blind to the public. Right? Let's go to the northeast corner where it's not known to myself. In other words, I'm blind to it, but my family and friends and other people around me that I deal with, my workmates, they know something about something that I don't know. And it would serve my purposes actually to become acquainted with those informations. And then the bottom right-hand corner, you have things that are not known to people around you, to experts, and so on and so forth, and to yourself. And you have to accept that in life, there's going to be things you don't know, and you may not have a way to discover them. So this is an kind of four blocks of the same size. So what's our goal here? Our goal is to take the area that's known to self and known to others and drive that down into facade. So I need to communicate more with peers, experts, and so forth. I need to do more homework to remove those things that are unknown to me. In the not known to self, right, but unknown, I'm going to want to make more of that available and drive the blind spot down. So the idea is for the bottom right-hand corner to become as small a box as you can possibly make it. And so this requires a lot of communication. So case in point is you don't know. For instance, in this presentation here, I don't know exactly how I'm being received by you, the viewer. Only you can tell me that. If I have a conversation with somebody and I elicit their input about, well, how does that sound to you? Or how did that come across? Then I've widened my field of view and my knowledge base to what that person can provide me. So that's what this is all about, is improving your total self-knowledge and reducing the amount of blind spots that you have. So that explains the self-knowledge we're focused on today. So there's many, many more point solutions and authoritative sources that you're going to want to use over time, and they'll fit your interests and needs. At every stage, from being a young adult to a mature adult to a retiree, when you're dealing with personal development, you'll be using these. So the first thing you want to do next is to make your first plan, even if it's only a first rough. That's perfectly okay. You have to have a place to start. And then you need to look at your priority in these plans. Are we looking at the biggest return on investments? Are we using the Pareto rule to focus us? A case in point is, let's say you brainstorm 20 things that you think are strategic to you that you want to do. Well, by Pareto standards, only 20% of that, or four items at the very top, are the ones you're going to spend your time on. And then again, you need to use continuing education and improvements to inform your decisions, to identify things you don't know that you can pursue, and so on down the line. The sooner you start this process, the better. The more point solutions you bring to bear, the sooner, the happier you're going to be with the results. And podcast newsletters and FAQs and authoritative point solutions that you can trust are all available on lifelongfulfillment.com. And now's the time in our program when we engage different perspectives, this time from a point solution expert. We have with us today Ellen Rothstein, Life Transition Coach. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, that's great. Ellen, maybe you could transition us by telling us about your practice and what you do and how you've come to be here.
I'd be happy to do that. I am a life transition coach working with anybody who is facing any type of transition. That could be a career change, it could be retirement, job loss, it could be empty nest, new baby, divorce, relationship status change, moving. We all face transition throughout our lives. And when I first started doing this, I was focusing mostly on people who were transitioning to retirement. But then other people came to me and said, you know, could you help me with this? I'm struggling in this career path or whatever it might have been. And I realized that retirement is just one type of transition, and I thought I would open up to a much more broad client base and be able to help a lot more people if I was focused less specifically on retirement and more on all types of transition. And I came to do this work because, and this is a rather long answer, so cut me off if I need to make it short.
Okay.
I started out in my life as an artist, a practicing artist with galleries and selling work and so on. And then I came to a point where I didn't know if I was going to sell another painting for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. And so then I decided I kind of had to get a quote job. And I ended up, long, long story short, but I ended up in advertising and digital media. And I did that for many years. And I live in San Francisco, which is a very young tech town. And it came to a point where I experienced layoffs yet again. My company was downsizing yet again, only this time I was an older woman and it was not going to happen to get the same type of job, which was quite a shock to me. I mean, I wasn't surprised on one hand, but on the other, I was thinking, oh my God, I need a full-time job. I need benefits. What am I going to do? But parallel to that, I'd been working with a life coach of my own, and she had said, you know, I think you've got a knack for this coaching thing. You might think about doing this yourself. So over the course of the previous years, about 3 years before I got laid off, I took some courses. And she was right. I loved it. But I still thought I needed a full-time job. Well, then come to 2019, I get laid off, as I just mentioned, and I discover I can't get hired again, nor do I actually want to. Then it was sort of that moment where you have to really face what you are doing, what is happening in your life. I was a round peg in a square hole, trying to get yet another job in yet another digital media agency or advertising agency or whatever. And I thought, this isn't working. So then I stepped back and I thought, what did I really like about the jobs that I had? And it was always when I was the liaison between the executive management, the engineers, the sales teams, the creatives, the account people, et cetera. It was about the people part, which dovetailed quite nicely into the idea of coaching. So I decided to make a huge transition myself and stop trying to get another job. So I got certified as a life coach. And at this point, I also was a crisis counselor, helping people through some pretty bad crises, but I didn't stick with that as a forever path. That was just something I was doing to get additional training. Right. So I got certified. And as I mentioned, I focused primarily on people who are transitioning to retirement. But then more recently, I have opened it up to work with people facing all types of transitions, which I'm finding to be, there's a lot of people out there that need help beyond what their family and friends can provide in terms of support.
Sounds like a real nice challenge for you and an interesting thing to be doing. So if I'm a person out there on the street, how do I know I need coaching and when? You know, a lot of us try and do it on our own. We talk to our friends, we talk to our relatives. When do we reach critical mass that says, you know, I'm stumped, I really need Ellen's help?
That's an excellent question, Jim. I don't think people have an easy, know that necessarily for a while. And there's no easy one-size-fits-all answer to that, obviously. Everybody's situation is unique. But I would say people would know that if they feel stuck. If they've tried talking to friends and family, if they've tried to do it on their own, but they recognize they're not making progress, they're stuck. And when that realization hits, that's when they really need help. That's what coaches are for. We're not therapists. We're not going to delve into the past and the reasons why you're stuck. It's more a matter of, okay, we understand you're stuck. Let's look at why. Let's look at where you might want to get to. And then let's look together at collaborating on an actionable plan to get you there.
I see. Okay. So you've got, it sounds like you've got a process that sort of, you know, acknowledges I'm stuck and then maybe brainstorms some alternatives to being stuck. And maybe you help them sort through that. Am I reading that correctly?
Pretty much. First, we look at where they are and where they think they want to be. And then we unpack some of the reasons they're stuck. What are their limiting beliefs? What is getting, how do we get themselves out of their own way? And in a lot of cases, they don't know where they want to go to, for example, retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's a matter of identifying their values. And I have a values tool that we use to help them hone in on exactly what is important to them, because the choices they're going to make, if they're aligned with what they value in their lives and in life in general, they're going to be much more meaningful, impactful, and much more doable. So we want to make sure that whatever they think they're moving towards aligns with what they believe is important to them. And then we spend time looking at options and thinking about different ideas. Blue sky, we start with blue sky,
mm-hmm.
and then we bring it into something that is much more manageable and realistic. And then we put together this actionable plan, and I help keep them accountable to that plan.
I see. From dynamic standpoint, is this something is strictly one-on-one?
Yes, there is group coaching that can be done.
I see.
My feeling is one-on-one, you need a bespoke program for each individual. I believe in one-to-many, like podcasts and my writing, but when it comes to actually helping an individual person, I find that they're best served by having someone like myself listen just to them and understand their exact situation.
I see. Okay. So academic classroom stuff is one thing, but really engaging to do it, that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. And so one-on-one sounds like the right way to go. Okay. All right. I think I'm getting a perspective on that. What kind of benefits do you see for those people that engage your coaching services down the road? Can you maybe give us an example?
Sure. What I see for them is some clarity and some peace. I worked with a woman that had taken an early retirement package from a large corporation. And she was thinking, I'm too young to retire. I guess I have to get a full-time job. And she had worked her buns off. She had raised two kids. Her husband had his own business. He was not around a lot. She had worked really hard. And she got to this point in her life and she thought, oh my God, I do not want to work full-time again. I am so burned out. So we worked together and I helped her understand that that was not her only option. And I'm not a financial advisor. I do not purport to be or get into the weeds with that at all. But I was able to ask her sort of high level, what is your financial situation with your husband working and this package? Do you actually need financially to take a full-time job? And when she looked at that, she was like, well, not really. And then we were able to explore more options. And she was so grateful that I had given her permission not to do something she felt that she should be doing, but to help her figure out what she wanted to do. And so the outcome for her was extremely positive. She was much more excited and thrilled and had excitement about what was coming up in this next phase of her life rather than dreading it. She had started a little bit, excuse me, to look for a full-time job and thought, oh God, this is awful. And so now she was so delighted that, oh wow, I can pursue these other things.
I see. Yeah. So I personally also taught a, how to retire kind of class and realign one's goals. So I kind of understand that. But if we go in the reverse direction, what youth level does coaching become of value? Is it up and down the spectrum of age, or is
Absolutely.
There, oh, you think it's okay.
Yes, I'm working with a client right now who is 30 and he is facing major anxiety and decisions. He's thinking about his career path. He's crippled by some decision-making difficulties. He's very stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So he's at the beginning of his career. He's not thinking about retiring, obviously. He's at the beginning. But I think it it even starts earlier. And quite honestly, my younger son has been my practice client for a long time. He's needed coaching his pretty much.
Lucky him.
It's free, of course. But I've worn a coaching hat very consciously with him a lot of times, helping him to ask himself questions and to withhold my judgment as a parent. And I've actually honed that skill pretty well. So I've had lots of practice in working with someone that is much younger. And I think it's been very beneficial insofar as he's able to step back and ask questions rather than just, you know, lunge into something emotionally.
Right. And that's a skill you build over time. So right. that's really valuable to get that early. That's really good. So, I think at this point you've had some familiarity with what we're doing in lifelong fulfillment. And I wanted to offer you a chance to make any comments you care to about that and any closing comments you might have for the audience at large.
I'd be happy to. Well, first of all, I do applaud your efforts and work with lifelong fulfillment because it's very all-inclusive. And what resonates for me is the sort of the factual basis. I have Lean Six Sigma training, which I haven't gotten to use for a long time, but I recognize a lot of the principles in that, in your lifelong fulfillment book, because I feel that things have to be grounded in reality. It's one thing to be all woo-woo and say, oh, I'm going to do this, and oh, I'm going to feel so good, and oh, I'm going to, you know, whatever. I have a little bit of an abhorrence for the woo-woo aspect of the world that I live in. So I appreciate the factual part, and I feel that you've done an amazing job in trying to weave together all of the different aspects of that, the financial, the practical, and also the goal setting and so on.
Right.
So I applaud that. What I focus on is much more microscopic. And as I mentioned, it's bespoke to an individual rather than trying to speak to a larger audience. So what I would want to import to our listeners and viewers is that it's hard to do this by yourself. And if you are facing a transition, you can get some support from family and friends, but they're not likely to listen to you with an uncritical, unjudgmental ear, because really that's what you need to help sort through what are the issues. And you don't want someone else to impose their own point of view on your struggles and your decisions. So working with a professional such as myself, you can have that impartial platform to go through, think through, work through, and eventually arrive at something to get you unstuck and drive you forward and allow you to be excited about what this next phase is going to bring.
Right, right. Well, that's very good perspectives you provided us today, Ellen. If people need you, how would they go about reaching you?
They can email me at Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at EllenRothstein.com, E-L-L-E-N. RothStein.com. I also have a website, EllenRothstein.com, and there's a contact form on there that will get to me as well. I'm also on LinkedIn, but I think email is probably the most direct and the easiest.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to meet and talk with you, and we hope our audience we'll derive all the great benefit of the comments you've had.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to talk to you about what you do, what I do, and have our audience understand that there's help and hope out there.
Indeed. Well, that's our show today. I want to thank our guest today, Ellen Rothstein. Vision in Action Live podcasts are every 2 weeks and are announced in advance. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you again. Make sure to check out the Personal Development Point Solutions newsletter for the details of today's talk and the book Lifelong Fulfillment, all the collateral materials, and even this podcast on lifelongfulfillment.com. Thanks again. Have a great week. See you later.